You are listening to the Journey Church Podcast. Journey Church is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church in Kingman, Arizona. Our current location is White Cliffs Middle School, with services at 9 and 1045. For more information about Journey, check us out on the web at journeykingman.com.
I did this one time. I'll do it next Christmas just to mess your mind. But I put the word Santa up on the board, and then if you just change two letters around, it spells Satan.
What?
Hey, I'm just telling you what happened, okay? If you're a visitor here today, I want to personally welcome you to Journey Church. And to give you a quick rundown on Journey Church, we're Bapticost. Which means we have a Pentecostal worship with Baptist theology. That's basically I'm kind of Baptist in theology. Yeah. But we've been going through a study and on the culture and what God has to say about that. Some interesting things. I got to see if that works. Good. Okay. Okay. Now that works. Okay. And all of these things have been coming up to you in society, and they've been hitting you in society, and you have to deal with them. And how we deal with them individually, how we deal with them as a church, has a lot to say for us. For instance, take your Bibles and turn to Judges 21, 25. This is a Bible. Bring it. You've got it at home, okay? Bring it, because you say, no, I'm going to use my phone, I'm going to use my iPad. Okay, you got me there, but you know, bring your Bible. Book of Judges, last verse in the book of Judges, Judges 21, 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what he saw fit. Some of your translations say, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And so what we've got here, we've got a statement. And actually, in the book of Judges, it says that four times. And it's making a point that where there is no king, there is no authority. And we have to understand that when everyone does what he sees fit, or everyone does what is right in his own eyes, it's relativism. And in our culture today, this is where we are. We have a king, a president, and he does not have the authority or the clout or the backing of the people, enough so that he has authority. And that's why there's always this fight of authority. And when you don't give him that authority as a nation, okay, what do? You do what is right in your own eyes. And it can be a very dangerous place. Today in America, with the concept of authority is weak, we have relativism. And I'm not saying I agree with everything that President Obama does, but he is my president, and I pray for him. And I will keep that. You can clap about that, because that's important. That's not saying I like Obama or don't like him. I'm just telling you what the Bible tells me to do. And and I will continue to do this, unless Hillary wins. But no, I will continue to do this. And because that is how we as Christians are to be. The problem is, when we have relativism, we say, what is the norm within society? And right now, it's relativism becomes the norm. And so that means there's really no norm, because we don't know what it is. But what happens when relativism becomes the norm? That's 21:25. Okay. This is the chart, and you can't read that. I know that. I'll straighten it up next week. But there's this area right in here, and it says it comes out of non-normative philosophical ethics, and it's called descriptive ethics, okay? And it's what is, not what ought. And that's where we are right now. We're in this area of ethics. We're sometimes fighting with deontology, okay? Deontology over here. Don't worry about big words. They don't mean a thing. What is the right thing to do? So we go from what is, not what ought to be, what is, and we run that as the norm. What's the problem with that? The problem is that once we think everybody agrees on it, that becomes the norm and that becomes truth. And it's very dangerous. And so we need a standard. You and I have that standard. It's called the Bible. God has given it to us to give us that standard and to give us the biblical ethics that we need. If not, there's no real ethics, guys. Eat, drink, and be merry because you're going to die. You know, this last week, I was with a very close friend of mine. I have spent 3 to 5 hours with him every week for 8 years, talking to him about the Bible. And he lay there dying. And in fact, it was, you know, we'd never lied to each other, and I didn't feel it was the best thing for me to start doing then. You know, like saying, you're going to be okay. Don't worry, you're going to be okay. You know, like everybody does. No. He said, what's up? I said, you're going to die. I said, I'm not going to lie to you. This is not going to turn out good for me, but it's turned out great for you. And I said, I'll make you this deal. I'll be here for you when you die if you're there for me when I die. I figure that's a pretty good deal. But we decide what is by that, and then we come over here and we call it the right thing to do. Now watch this. If everybody's having abortions and we have this thing, what is, and we make that the right thing, then our truth, then the right thing to do is what? Have an abortion. And some of you here, I'm sure, have had them, and God forgives you and all of that stuff. And God has enough grace for that. Okay, that's not something that God won't do. By the way, there were abortions in the Old Testament. And so someday I'll talk on that and show you how. But it was afterbirth abortion is what it was in the Old Testament. But anyway, the norms of society right here become the what is. And so it becomes normal for us to do that. And it becomes normal for us to go against God. And in our culture today, that's where we're at. In fact, you can't say anything against Allah, but you can go all day on God in the public. Allah, by the way, comes from the name Elihu, which was one of 360 gods. He was the moon god. So when they say Allah is the same of God, no, he's a moon guy. He's very capricious, very mean. He's not God. That's why he's made up. But anyway, that's where we're at today, and you can see it, and you can feel it within the political climate that we have. But God has given us Christians something else. As these things come against you, what do you do? Here's what God has given you. God has given the Christian the gift of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you don't have these things, okay, these gifts that God has given you, you are rejecting God. Doesn't mean you're unsaved. It means you need to work on that because you're so strong that you're overpowering God. God doesn't force these things. They are gifts that he gives you. And so when he gives you these things, he says, I want you to have this thing. Okay? This self-control one right there. Do you have a problem with self-control? Do you get mad and lose it? Guys, girls never do that. I know girls never do that because Patty told me they don't. Now, after God gives you these gifts, look, and this is how you handle things. Look what he tells you to think on. Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. God tells you to be positive. That's what he's telling you. It's that simple. And guess what? If you are a negative person, you're not doing what God wants you to do. And some people think, well, I just got to be negative because that's somebody's got to do it. No. That's corny. What are you guys laughing about? You think on these things. And the problem is that we don't always want to think on these things, do we? But wait a minute. God isn't saying, when you feel like it or anything like that. He's telling you to think on these things. And then he's saying, goes 2 Peter, that's our favorite one. And you add to what you already have, you add to your faith, you add goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And we're always going around that, adding these things more and more. Now, if we're doing that, okay, we're in the right frame of mind. And being in the right frame of mind, guess what? There's lines you don't cross. And this is where the church has blown it in America. We have allowed people to cross the lines. We're more concerned about what they say about dancing than what they say about Jesus. Do you think we got it wrong? For all these years, it's like, I have a Baptist background, and you know why Baptists don't let people kiss? Because it could lead to dancing. I had this thing against dancing, and I got to tell you, I love to watch Soul Train, and it's cool because you watch these hard guys. They're really hard, gangsters. They walk out, like this. And then they're dancing? And then they got the look while they're dancing. I don't get it. I don't get dance, but it's not sin. Well, some of the dancing today is sin, let's face it, okay? But what happens is that we care more about this other smaller stuff. We argue more on whether or not you should drink than how to use the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm just getting started. Last time when I spoke, I ended with what we Christians sometimes think about Jesus. If you remember, I said there's Republican Jesus who is against tax increases and activist judges, and he's for family values and owning firearms. And then there's the Democrat Jesus, who's against Wall Street and Walmart. That's a dangerous guy. That is a dangerous guy around here, but I won't go there. And he's for reducing our carbon footprint. Go green. Jesus, go green. And then there's Starbucks Jesus, who drinks fair trade coffee, loves spiritual conversation, drives a hybrid, I do. And I got to tell you this. I went to a man's house a week ago, not this last week, but the week before that, and he is a big oil man, okay? Big, and I'm going to him for money. I ain't playing any games, okay? And so I go to this guy, that's right, I go to this big oil man's house, and we're good friends and excited and everything else, and I go there, and I'm driving my Prius, and I'm asking for money. I got to tell you, if he likes our land, he has promised to loan us $300,000. So we're at that point, and we'll see and go from there. What's really cool is, so I call Christian investors, right? I call, and I'm talking to Paul Anderson, and actually Paul called me last week. And we're talking, and he's saying, how's it going, this and that. I said, Paul, what do you think if we just get the money and build the church, and then you come along and refinance to pay off all the money, and you come along and refinance. He says, yeah, that's great. You could do that, but there's some problems with that deal. And I said, well, Paul, I'd rather go with you. So what I need is, I need the money by June, okay? So that's how it is. And he goes, well, I don't know, Dale. Next day in email, he sends me a loan application. That's where we're at, guys. So just to let you know where we're at, it's still all confusing. It is. And we got another bank looking at us. It's all kinds of stuff. But anyway, what happens is that we don't draw the line. as Christians on, no, don't cross that line in our culture. And if we know those lines and have a set, it becomes very simple. But if we don't know those lines, you and I keep playing the game with it. Let me show you. Let me show you here. Video time. Shut the lights off if somebody. Now, how can we expect the world to understand who Jesus is when we allow the stuff like the first part of that video? Did that bother you? Yeah. It should have bothered you. The second part is the victory part. And that's part of the problem is that we as Christians, we expect our culture to understand who Jesus is when we tolerate that kind of stuff. That's crossing the line. We should not tolerate that. Now, that doesn't mean we punch him in the mouth, but it does mean that we stand for something. Because if you don't stand for anything, you'll go for everything. Draw that line. You don't make fun of my God. It violates the most sacred thoughts of Scripture, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And instead, we try to make Jesus in our image. There's Jesus Christ, the Son, the living God. Not just another prophet, not just another rabbi, not just another wonder worker. And we got to this weakness because The culture began to influence the church instead of the church being the culture. Now, we are salt and we are light. Remember that? And we influence the culture. The problem is our culture has become the salt and light. They have violated the line. They violate it all the time. Watch this. 30 years ago, if they had had, let's pick a TV show. Two and a Half Men. If they would show that on TV 30 years ago, those guys would be arrested. They'd never get it there. But now it's an acceptable thing. When you go to a movie and it's rated R and there's scenes that you ought not be looking at, now it's no big deal. It's all part of the movie. I had a discussion once with a movie star over that, and I said, you put these things in, you put all the language and all this stuff in, and he says, yeah, because we want to make it realistic. Realistic? You're flying to Mars. Do you get this? You're talking about some dog talking, and you have to make it realistic? But yet they have had an influence on the church. And so we come up with things like this guy, and this guy says this, I am 21, male, never had a girlfriend, and life is miserable. Kids are starving in the world as well, and God, as powerful He is, decides to do nothing about it. I really believe life is this miserable, and you are on your own without any help at all. I really want to kill myself at this moment. If there is a God, I want nothing to do with it at all and would rather link up with Satan instead, because at least he helps his minions or whatever. I don't really believe in God anyways, as I'm an atheist. Now, do you see the problem here? I love this, okay? Because this person says that he hates something that doesn't exist. How corny can you get? Atheists United in San Luis Obispo. The group's content is available only to members only. Surprise. But you can still join the group, contact the organization, and learn more. Atheists United of San Luis Obispo is a meeting place for all atheists, humanists, rationalists, brights, doubters, agnostics, and other non-believers to get to know each other, share ideas, and build a community of like-minded individuals in San Luis Obispo County. Atheists United of San Luis Obispo is an active, exciting community of people who come together, encourage critical thinking about religion, advocate for the separation of church and state in our community. But wait a minute. What is atheism? It is a belief system, which makes it a religion, which means they should also be separate. You'll never hear that from them. What is evolution? It is a belief system, which makes it a religion. Rabbi Zacharias, I think I got it up here. Rabbi Zacharias says, a man rejects God neither because of intellectual demands nor because of the scarcity of evidence. Let me explain that to you. He doesn't reject God because he doesn't have enough evidence that God exists. Okay? There's enough evidence that God exists. He says, a man rejects God neither because of intellectual demands nor because of scarcity of evidence. A man rejects God because of a moral resistance that refuses to admit his need for God. And that is right on with everybody. When we go to this culture and we say you need God, they are rejecting God because they don't want to come under God's control. It's that simple. Noah's Ark. Any of you ever seen Noah's Ark? I didn't think so. How many of you done study on Noah's Ark? Raise your hand. Oh, good, good. Okay, what's the one thing we know? It's there. It's there. Okay, that, and you do the study, and there's enough evidence to show that. Have you ever seen that on TV?
Yes.
Okay, it was on the Learning Channel. Okay, yeah, it's on the Learning Channel, our history, our discovery. Okay, don't you think that would make front page news? Don't you think that should be all over the planet, Noah's Ark found? Do you know why it's not? Because if you find Noah's Ark and you tell everybody that you found it, that means that you have to admit it's Noah's Ark or somebody built a ship the size of a Navy tender on a mountain for no good reason. Okay? So that means it's Noah's Ark. Now, if Noah's Ark, that means the story, and all societies have a flood story, by the way, the story is true. And if the story's true, that means there is a God who will punish mankind. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that. And so you have these things. According to Dr. David Jeremiah, the atheists have become more radical in recent years. And it's hard to to read their books or watch their interviews without concluding that the new atheists think they're a lot smarter than the rest of us. They now call themselves, they don't call themselves atheists anymore, they call themselves bright. In other words, bright. We're smarter than you. That's what Richard Dawkins came up with. He's an idiot. Oh, I love this. I love this. They go through this whole thing. Have I got time? I sure do. It's only 10 o'clock. Richard Dawkins, if you ever saw that movie, what was that movie? Expelled. And at the end of Expelled, they asked Richard Dawkins, where did we come from? He's the king evolutionist. He knows everything, okay? And so they asked Dawkins where we came from, and he says, spacemen? Well, begs the question, where'd the spacemen come from? He doesn't answer the question. He doesn't answer the question. And there's two types of atheism. There's those who do not believe in God. And then there's those who don't want anyone to believe in the Christian God. And you have to understand that there are those two types out there. And, you know, we are salt and light. How does God say to handle it? Whoops, I showed you that. How does God say to handle it? I don't know if you can read this or not, so let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Turn your Bibles there if you want. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Wow. Says it right there. And watch this. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In other words, we once thought of Christ in a worldly way, and now we don't. So what? Expect the world to regard Christ in a way different than you do. But we're not going to let them violate the line. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means that God saved us through Christ and he's given us the ministry of telling everyone about it. Does the church do that? You know, one-on-one, somebody says, can you tell me about Jesus? Yeah, you're right there to tell him. No problem at all. But you know what? Every time that you rag on the church, you are hurting Christ. Whether it's this church or some other church. I've gotten away. And I used to rag on some church pretty hard, but I've stopped doing that. Because I realized, wait, they're my brothers in Christ. I may not agree with them always, but you know what? They are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think we need to be careful, you know, careful about that, because we are in the business of reconciliation. I may have done this before. I think I did. I can't remember. I'll do it for those of you who weren't here. So let's do it. Sir, what's your first name? Mo. Mo? Hey, Mo. I want Mo. I'm not going to say the other part. Anyway, Mo, you're my friend. We shake hands a lot. We see each other on Sunday. Pat you on the back. Wendy, your wife?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Cool. Now, let me see. Oh, Mo. I don't like Wendy. I don't like her. I don't like her. You know what? She does stuff wrong. Angel man. You know. You want to punch me in the mouth. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And you should, Mo. Okay, here's the issue, okay? What's the church called? The Bride of Christ. So when you rag on the church, you're ragging on Jesus' bride. And I bet he punches people in the mouth for it. That's right. Just like you want to do. And I'm sorry, Wendy. I actually do love you, okay? And I'm going to take you as my wife. Sorry, Mo. Now what we went from that to relativism. Okay, what I think is true and right. Sorry, bud. But that's what happens. You do not. I'm telling you, be very careful about this. You're in the ministry of reconciliation, not in the ministry of ragging on everybody. All this is from God. Verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciled to the world to himself in Christ. God in Christ. That makes Jesus God, by the way. Not counting men's sins against them. Not counting men's sin against them. I love this. Because we're all saints We're all sinners saved by grace, right? But that's not how God sees us. God sees us what? As saints who never sinned. That's the blood of Christ, and that's hard for us to get. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. What's the message? You can be forgiven of your sins. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. And ambassadors, we take forth the word. So if somebody crosses that line about what they think about Jesus Christ, they have crossed the line with us because we are the ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I watched my friend slip into eternity, and I was crying and laughing at the same time. Because I'm crying because I'm going to miss this guy. He was the most honoriest guy. I got to tell you, in his early 20s, he ran around with a team of people that did the mafia's work in New York. And they asked him to leave New York. He was an enforcer. Okay? And one of the guys, one of the young men that he worked with there that got around and they did all their stuff was a man by the name of John Gotti. And he couldn't because he wasn't Italian, you know, but they asked him to leave and he could play golf and became a professional golfer and played on the tour. And a lot of people don't know his background. Just awesome. And I watched him go off into eternity and I held his hand and it was just awesome. Because I know where he's going and what he's going to. Why? Because we became the righteousness of God. Do you realize the responsibility you have? Do you realize our assignment being ambassadors for Jesus, representing Jesus to the world? Our message, reconciling with God, our attitude of compassion. So, what do Americans believe? Where are we at? I want to show you something. It's interesting. What does American believe? 78% believe survival of the soul after death. Okay, cool. 72, miracles. 64% believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 60% believe the virgin birth. 55% believe in the devil. 53% believe in hell. That is pretty not bad numbers for us, guys. Here's the only problem. 9% practice the Christian life in their worldview. So you see, it has our culture affected us? Yes, and we've got to go, wait a minute, that's wrong. We've got to get back. We have to live in a world of technology, in the world today, and all the things going. But I got news, we got to think like 50 years ago in our theology and go, I represent Jesus Christ. I believe that the atheists have become so aggressive because they're losing the ground. They are losing ground. The scientific facts and logics are just killing them. But you know what? It always comes back to what Zacharias said. Man rejects God neither because of intellectual demands nor because of the scarcity of evidence. A man rejects God because of a moral resistance. He refuses to admit his need for God. And if you don't believe in God, there's only one other option, and that's evolution. I don't preach much on evolution because the Bible tells us not to get in genealogical arguments, and that's what it is. Okay? But real quick, I just want to give you a couple of understandings about that. And there's guys here who study it and do a great job on it, Dan and Stu, and do a great job. But I just want to tell you, okay, here's evolution. Lightning hits primordial mud. We do not know where the lightning nor the mud comes from. Okay? It hits that starting in life. And in that life there, we come up 65 million years here on Earth. And in those 65 million years, okay, we have man. Okay, great. Where'd woman come from? Oh, we have to have it happen again, and 65 million years later, we got woman. Okay? Now, man and woman, 65 million years or whatever it is, they grow up through these lines. They just happen to like each other and be able to make babies. Well, that's corny. So what's the other option? The other option is we all came through the same strand, of course, and this is the problem. Because who's ever on top becomes God, okay? And who's on top of the evolutionary ladder? White male adults. Now, why? Because they're the ones that thought of the theory. Now, who's under white male adults? Well, it's got to be the Orientals, because we know they're really smart. Right? Oh, wait, you're above the white male adult because you're Oriental. See, it depends on where you come from. Okay? Now, watch this, because that group I showed you the other day, now, the women group, okay, they believe in evolution. They don't believe in God. Now, what happens? Well, what happens is if you got all these males that are on top, women are down below that. Take that, women. How corny. Evolution will not, does not work. And maybe you've heard about the gorilla in the zoo, and he's holding a Bible in one hand and Darwin's book on the other, and he was confused, and somebody said, "What are you doing?" And the gorilla answered, "Well, I'm trying to decide if my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother." If our concepts of right and wrong came from evolution, you realize lightning hitting the mud, you realize it had to come from that. Because there's no place you can get concepts of right and wrong. It's impossible. And you have to understand what the evolutionary idea is. Let me show you right quick. This is evolution. Nothing plus nothing equals everything. In other words, zero plus zero equals infinity. That's it. You got to believe that. Without God in the play, that's it. The miraculous human body. Dr. John Medina, a genetic engineer from the University of Washington, was speaking at Multnomah Bible College, and he said this: the average heart pumps over 1,000 gallons a day, over 55 million gallons in a lifetime. That is enough to fill 13 super tankers. It never sleeps, beating 2.5 billion times in a lifetime. The lungs contain 1,000 miles of capillaries. The process in exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide is so complicated, it's more difficult to change O2 to CO2, that is, oxygen to carbon dioxide, than a man being shot out of a cannon and carving the Lord's Prayer on a pin as he passes by. DNA contains about 2,000 genes per chromosome, 1.8 meters of DNA are folded into each cell nucleus. A nucleus is 6 microns long. That is like putting 30 miles of fishing line into a cherry pit. Wow, isn't evolution wonderful? And it's not simply stuffed in, it's folded in. And it's folded in a way that the cell becomes a skin cell, and folded in a different way, it'll become a liver cell, and so forth. To write out the information in one cell of your body would take 300 volumes of 500 pages each. The human body contains enough DNA that if it were stretched out, it would circle the sun 260 times. The body is energy efficient. If the average adult rides a bike for 1 hour at 10 miles an hour, it uses the amount of energy contained in 3 ounces of carbohydrates. What is that? That means if we could get cars to be like that, cars would get 900 miles to the gallon. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The people who have said that there's a better way than God's way, the people who have said that we can design a better man, the people who said that evolution is true and it's the only way, let's look what their leaders have done. Hitler killed 10 million people. Stalin, 65 million. Mao Zedong, 77 million people. What is it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. And when the fool says that there is no God, they will make fun of our Jesus. They will make fun of God. And when this culture does that, that's the line they don't cross. We stop them there. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for what you give us and the many blessings. Lord, forgive us where we have not acted properly. Yes, Lord, we want to be gentle, but there is a line. Just like the money changers in the temple, there was a line. Father, we pray that you help us to understand this as Journey Church goes off and says, you know what? We praise God for what other churches do, but we're Journey Church, and we're going to do church right, and we're going to praise God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. For more information about Journey Church, check us out on the web at journeykingman.com.